Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of our listeners today. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be shared at the close of the service. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Is there any authority by which we can test our religious faith, or is everything up for grabs? I'd like to visit with you about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we live among a religious people. We are told by all kinds of articles that we are a spiritual nation. And yet, O God, we hear some very strange teachings when we sit with our friends and relatives talking about the Christian faith. Grant, O God, today that we may ask you the question and let you be the one who responds. Is there any basis by which we can test what we believe is true according to your will? Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Lord, speak.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, beginning with verse 35. And here Paul, writing to the young man Timothy, says, "The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
Christ, O men of God, have done me lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Christ, O men of God.
Friends in Christ, imagine that one evening you walk into an ice cream parlor and decide that you're going to treat yourself to a sundae. As you pick up the menu and begin to read, you realize that there are all kinds from which you can choose. But then there is one item on the menu that really catches your eye. It says, make your own sundae. Put on it whatever you wish. You talk with the waitress about this, and she says, well, look, there's a lad over there. He's making his own. Go over and watch him. See what fun he's having. And so you do just that. He begins with a basic ingredient, which is ice cream. Instead of just taking one flavor, he puts two or three flavors into his ice cream bowl. And then after that, he puts many kinds of flavors on. Oh, there's chocolate, and there is raspberry, and there is strawberry, and there's butterscotch. And when he's done with that, he begins to sprinkle some peanuts and other toppings over the whole affair. Finally, he puts on some whipped cream and crowns it with a great big cherry. You look at that and you say, well, that's not for me. I couldn't begin to eat anything like that. What's the matter with that kid? And so you go back and order the traditional hot fudge sundae. He's having a ball with the sundae that he made. And the waitress would say to you, well, you like what you have, and he likes what he has, and all that counts is that you're satisfied and happy. It all has to taste good to you. Now, I think that's great as far as a sundae and an ice cream parlor is concerned. But you know, people, as I visit with individuals about what they believe, religiously speaking, I'm convinced that we're doing the very same thing in religion. In our society, we want a little bit of everything, and we end up with practically nothing. We have perhaps about five ingredients that we would like to put into our religion. For remember now, it has got to be a religion that makes you happy. It has to be a religion that really quiets your nerves and inspires your emotions. So, because you have a Christian background, it's only natural that you would turn to the New Testament first and find some passages there that would be basic in your new make-it-yourself religion. And there you would have some of Jesus' teachings. For example, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You think that ought to be the basic teaching probably in all religions. And then to add to that, you'd probably say, well, I ought to put in what he also taught, that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then you go back to the Old Testament and you say, well, that certainly is a part of the Judeo-Christian teaching, so we ought to have something from that too. We don't turn to the Ten Commandments because they're not relevant in our day. They're not applicable, really. But there are some beautiful psalms that will lift your spirit. And so you turn to one like 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. Oh, yeah. I certainly want that in my make it your own religion. Now then, you move outside of the scriptures because there is so much revelation, you say today, and you turn to a philosophy that you may not be able to identify, but which basically is humanism. And that philosophy is teaching that you're basically a very fine person. And there is within you a power whereby that which is not so good can empower you to make yourself right. So you have some humanism too, centered in the doctrine the human being has tremendous potential and is basically good. Then you turn, well, there has to be a little emotion too, doesn't there? Religion has to be something that really makes you feel good. After all, if it doesn't make you feel good, is there any purpose in religion at all? And so you're anxious to have some of those great positive things. Let's not talk about the negative, only the positive of what you can become, especially on your own. Now the fifth one is, it must be rational. You must be able to understand this religion, or it's of no value to you. Your fellow men will not listen to you, because in a day of science, faith has little place. Now, then, out of your self-composed catechism comes the basic philosophy that all religion is so individualistic, and it is unhealthy for us to convert someone to what we believe. For all that matters is that your religion and my religion makes you feel good, makes me feel good, because we are the one who has to determine what is really truth, right and wrong for us. The disciples of this kind of religion are often referred to as very religious people, for they often refer to their beliefs. Well, they may be very religious according to the scriptures, but the Bible makes it very clear that such a man-made religion is not Christian at all. And so if you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, is there any basis whereby we can test our religion to say whether it's right or wrong? And our Lord would hurry on to say, take that word which I gave you, and if it is biblical, then it is true. Believe it and practice it. And if it is not, throw it away. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. Now remember, this is the last word that he is writing before he is executed. For the time will come, Timothy, when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. But Timothy, you keep your head in all situations. If it's necessary, endure hardship. But you do the work of an evangelist, and you discharge all the duties of your ministry. When you hear all these biblical teachings proclaimed in the name of religion, Timothy, then really ask the question, are they biblical? For the authority for the Christian faith is in God's holy word, known to us as the Bible. Now, I can just hear Larry King on one of his programs each night at about 8 o'clock here in the Midwest say, well, now listen, hold on here just a little bit. I've got a question that I want to ask you. There are all kinds of denominations, and they all claim to have the same Bible, but they certainly believe a lot of different things. Who is right? You can't get by with this, that the Bible is a basic thing whereby you are able to evaluate what you believe. Yes, we can. There are biblical truths that, of course, come from biblical interpretation. The scriptures have to be interpreted, but they can be interpreted in a right way, in a scholarly way, that there's no question what the book is telling us. For example, you cannot build your dogma on one or two passages found in the Bible. You have to build that whole belief on what the Word of God is saying. You need to really get into the whole matter of the text in the original languages, and there you need to be able to interpret what God is saying. And then we also admit that even after the best theology is used to get at the true meaning of God's word, there are honest differences, but never on the basics. that is God's way of salvation, that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. There we have total agreement. Now let me try to give you an example of this. Many years ago, I attended the Congress, the United States Congress on Evangelism. It was co-chaired by two of the great leaders of the church in those days, Dr. Billy Graham, who happens to be a Baptist, and Dr. Oswald Hoffman, who is a Lutheran. Billy Graham and Ozzie Hoffman are very close friends. They are one in Jesus Christ. They could co-chair a National Congress on Evangelism. They happen to have different views on baptism, but they are clearly united in Jesus Christ. And what is their authority? The Bible. And what question are they asking? Is it biblically correct? But now let's go back to some of these primary teachings in the Word of God. For example, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Through his suffering and his death at the cross, he paid the price for our sins, and by his glorious resurrection, he has won victory for us over sin, death, and the devil. The Bible makes it very clear that if we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and we confess him with our lips, that we are going to be saved. That salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Now, those who would disagree with us, who are in the process of making their own religion, would say, oh, no. No, I can't buy that. After all, the human mind cannot understand it to begin with. How are you going to say to people that Jesus, dying on the cross 2,000 years ago, paid the price for your sins, that is, if you have any? And how can you really say that if he were raised from the dead, that that gives you victory over death and the devil and sin and all the rest? It just doesn't seem to make sense to me, so I can't put that in my own kind of make-it-yourself religion. It's too exclusive. It builds divisions within our world, and that's not good. Rather, we ought to teach a universalistic philosophy that all people one day will get to heaven. That's a much more cozy teaching. It gives you a nice feeling as you leave the church. The Bible also goes on to teach that human beings are sinful. Now listen to what those who are making their own religion have to say. The Bible says that we have sinned, we have been born in sin, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there are those then who are called the humanist, or whatever you may want to label them, who would disagree with that. They would say basically that all people are very good. If you put them in the right environment and you educate them, there is within them a power and an intellect and know-how that will make them rise to the occasion, and they will be able to overcome their weaknesses. Kind of interesting, isn't it? You see what a hodgepodge of doctrine that really is? And when you begin to take that doctrine and compare it with the Word of God that says that all of us are sinners and we are helplessly lost, we see that this kind of humanistic teaching that is found in our day is not biblical, and therefore in the Christian life it goes. The Bible says that God's Word teaches the absolutes. It tells us how he wants us to live. There are some rights, there are some wrongs. It tells us that idolatry is wrong. So we ought to get rid of our little gods, be they the materialistic possessions that we have or the social desires that we have to attain and so forth. Tells us that there is an authority, and it starts with children obeying their father and their mother, and we go on up through and obey the authorities too, including the government and certainly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible teaches us that hatred and honesty and jealousy are sin. And he goes on and speaks very, very clearly on sexual behavior and deals with such naughty subjects as divorce, cohabitation, and homosexuality. Now, those who are building their own religion will say, well, those commandments are no longer relevant. Truth in our day, we have learned, is pretty much subjective, and it is to be determined by the individual's situation. I heard an interesting one the other day. Cohabitation for young people, that is, young people 20 and 25 and 30 living together outside of marriage, you probably can still call sin. But when we get to the retirement years, and when we have lost a spouse in one way or another, then cohabitation is the only way to go. For after all, it'll protect your money. You can still keep your pension, and you can still have the fellowship of living together with another person of the opposite sex. And if you want, you can even have your sexual cravings satisfied. Now the Word of God says, oh no. No, none of these things. It can't be. Is it biblical? No, it isn't. Therefore, out it goes in the life of a Christian. You see, friend, if our Christian faith is to have meaning, it must go beyond our feelings and what we think is true. There must be an authority that speaks while we listen. For the Christian, that authority is God's Word. And in a day where we are facing all of these funny kinds of teachings that come to our itching ears, we need to ask ourselves the question, is it biblical? So, as Paul says, we are called on by Scripture to keep our heads in all situations. We're to endure hardship if necessary for your faith, and point wandering, searching people to Christ, who has taught them clearly what to believe and what to do. The challenge of the church today is to help people find their way to the Lord Jesus and to help them believe that which is right. Amen. Father, we thank you that your word tells us what is truth. Grant, O God, that even though we cannot always understand it, and sometimes we find it impossible to really walk according to your ways, that you will grant us the forgiveness of our sins, that you'll strengthen us and empower us to live according to that word. But grant that we may never deny that this is truth. Lord Jesus, we pray that our country, the church, and all others in authority over us may also be obedient to that truth. Sustain us with your grace. Shower your everlasting love on us, even though we are not worthy of it. For we ask it all in Christ's name, and for his sake, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the gospel message shared by Pastor Larson will give you comfort and peace and draw you nearer to your Savior, Jesus Christ. We extend special greetings to our WTIS listeners in the St. Petersburg, Florida area. If you worshiped with us today, please call 1-888-MY-FAITH and let us know. Christian Crusaders depends on the faithful gifts of listeners to continue to share the gospel with all those who depend on our program as their time of worship. We thank each of you for your continued prayers and financial support. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.